Nick Perry revealed at Green Bay Packers minicamp on Tuesday that he had off-season shoulder surgery. So what does the future hold for Perry? To discuss the topic, we bring on Jeff Albrecht of Cheesehead TV. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about mini camp in Green Bay. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Jeff Albrecht of CheeseheadTV.com. Mr. Albrecht, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing excellent. Thank you. It's really exciting time of the year when the Packers start kicking off their season.
And, yes.
We're waiting and looking at each and every practice right now.
Yes, yes. Waiting on the balls of our feet for football to actually start here very soon. But Jeff, wanted to welcome you to Cheesehead TV. You kind of came over as part of the move from allgbp.com to Cheesehead TV, just kind of introduced over the last week or so here. But to give our listeners a little bit of introduction to yourself, could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you became a Packers fan?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, first of all, I'm retired, and so I have some more time for my passion, which is the Green Bay Packers. I grew up just 30 miles from Green Bay and started attending games when I was about 10 years old, and was at some of the more memorable ones, the 62 championship game and the Ice Bowl, and I have very clear recognitions of going into the city and meeting the players right in downtown Green Bay, a very small place at that time. I played high school ball and college ball at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and so I just always followed them, and there are very few home games that I miss. So I very much love the Packers, as all of our listeners do.
Very cool. You've seen it all from back in the Lombardi years. So that's good. We've got a good background base here. Let's talk a little bit about this current Packers team. Linebacker Nick Perry revealed on Tuesday that he had off-season shoulder surgery. So I think one of the big topics of the day here is Nick Perry. How concerned are you about his health, considering he missed pretty much the entire off-season program? And how about the larger picture that he's been, you know, injured quite frequently throughout his career?
Well, Brian, I'm very concerned about Nick Perry. First of all, the Packers have invested a first-round pick in him. He's a young man, but in terms of football, he's not played very much. Mm-hmm. And he needs to get on that field and earn his stripes, so to speak. And right now, with him sidelined, he's not about to do that. I think in the larger picture, I mean, he's at the point where we have to consider that he might be a bust. When we take a look at his stats, last year he did come up with 3 sacks, but only 22 total tackles for the entire season and 4 starts. That's not something that will really equate him well to starting this year if he doesn't get back on that field and get healthy.
Is Nick Perry in a make-or-break season entering 2015? The Packers, of course, declined the option year in his contract, so he's going to be a free agent after the season. Is it make-it-or-break-it time for him?
Absolutely. On the depth charts, he is behind Julius Peppers. And again, when you think of it, the signing of Julius Peppers would not have been made, in my view, if Nick Perry had produced at the first round level. Perry is chasing Peppers, and I just don't see any way he's going to overtake him.
Do you think Nick Perry would have been effective if he were healthy? Because this is a guy who, yeah, he missed, like, I believe it was 10 games his rookie year. He had the broken wrist. I think he missed 5 games his second year in the NFL. He had the broken bone in his heel. And now apparently the shoulder injury. Is he a guy that would be effective if he was just simply healthy?
I don't know that you can be dependent upon him. That's above and beyond the injuries. He just doesn't appear to be a playmaker. And that's what has me concerned the most. I just don't see him emerging this year. I don't know that he has the fire that a Julius Peppers or a Clay Matthews has. I don't know that he's ever going to get it.
Yeah, we'll find out here as the offseason goes on. And, of course, training camp will be the more important part of Perry's, you know, offseason, I guess. We'll find out starting in late July whether he's got it or not.
We sure will.
Perhaps at the other end of the spectrum, maybe not entirely, but a little bit of good news. Cornerback Casey Hayward, meanwhile, actually took part in practice on a limited basis on Tuesday. Does that make you feel at least a little bit better about his chances to earn a starting spot this season?
Yes, it does. I look for Casey to go in there and compete and perhaps win that job early. But I'm very, very excited about Randall and Rollins. And I think Hayward is really more suited to the inside than the outside. And I look for those rookies to push, and it would not be surprising at all to see Hayward on the inside and the nickels and dimes and Randall and Rollins emerge as a starter. Wouldn't surprise me a bit, Brian.
Maybe that'll be the case. We're talking to Jeff Albrecht of CheeseheadTV.com here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. A couple other items that happened during minicamp this week. Ty Montgomery took part in his first practice open to the public on Tuesday. How much of a disadvantage do you think he's at after missing the majority of the offseason program?
I look for Ty Montgomery to really make his mark on special teams in the return game especially and kickoff specifically. I don't think it's going to harm him at all. He's an athlete. He'll come in and, I believe, compete for either the fifth or sixth position and maybe fourth on the offense. But he's going to make his mark on special teams this year and will work himself gradually into the rotation at receiver.
Elsewhere at receiver, Mike McCarthy called Davante Adams an off-season MVP on Tuesday during his press conference. Are you buying the hype into Davante Adams?
I am. I am very, very high on Davante Adams. He's going to make a serious step forward this year for playing time. I like his size, his hands, his route running. There's a lot to like with Davante Adams, and I'm very excited about what he's going to be doing this year.
Be interesting to see how he improves from year one to year two in the NFL. Earlier this week, the Green Bay Packers released offensive lineman Marcus Reed. Do you think this is just a case of the Packers parting ways with an inferior player? Or do you think they have an idea in mind for what created now an open roster spot?
That's a really good question. I didn't see much of Marcus Reed, and he was the largest player on the roster. I mean, he was a huge man, even bigger than Raji. He was going to be operating more from the inside, it appeared, than the outside, and I just don't see that with inside players, particularly J.C. Treader, that he's going to have an opportunity to really do much. So I think it was just a case of better players on the roster and him not really having an opportunity to win a roster spot down the road.
On today, on Wednesday, the Green Bay Packers are holding their annual team building activity at minicamp. A few years ago, former Detroit Lions coach Jim Schwartz kind of scoffed at the idea of sacrificing practice time for something like a team building activity. Do you agree with that practice?
Well, last time I checked, Jim Schwartz was fired as Lions coach. I think it kind of goes with Mike McCarthy pretty much knows what he's doing. He's got a good feel for his team. The players seem to bond real well. And if you notice, Coach may have slipped out what they're doing today by saying that they will be introducing themselves on carts. So maybe, just maybe, they might do some golfing.
Yeah, that appears to be the case. It's weird. I think if Mike McCarthy was spending multiple days having his team golfing, then maybe we'd have a problem. But I think taking one afternoon to do a little team building is not too big of a deal. Jeff, before we let you go, I was just reading your first post at Cheesehead TV, something along the lines of top 10 reasons the Packers will be improved in 2015. And maybe if you could just give our listeners maybe your number one reason they'll be improved this year, and maybe that'll encourage them to read numbers 2 through 10 at Cheesehead TV. But why do you think, what is the number one reason they're going to be improved this year?
Well, there's the thread that I have in here. The common theme is, and it starts at number one, which I called an addition by subtraction, which is Sean Slocum will no longer be coaching the special teams. Mm-hmm. I thought Slocum should have been released a couple of years ago. I thought he was in way over his head. And the fact that the draft seems to have gotten a lot of players who have some really good special teams options, such as Ty Montgomery, and the fact that Coach Mike McCarthy is also going to be heavily involved as a third coach on special teams, those are part of the reasons that this team is going to be improved this year.
Well, certainly hope so. Jeff, thank you for taking the time to talk with us this morning. Appreciate it, and glad you're a part of Cheesehead TV, and look forward to reading more about from you there.
Thank you, Brian, and wish you well as well, and I'm very excited to be on Cheesehead TV. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Jeff Albrecht of CheeseheadTV.com joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue the discussion on Nick Perry here. So, did not take part in practice on Tuesday, and that now signifies that Nick Perry has basically not taken part in an off-season practice now in two consecutive years. Last year, he was kind of held out as he, you know, that broken bone in his foot kind of lingered. And it didn't impact him for training camp. You know, he missed the off-season program, was back in time for training camp, had a fairly healthy season in 2014. I'm not saying it was a particularly productive season, but he only missed one game last year, and I think in a game that is as physical and brutal as professional football, that's rather admirable. So between the regular season and the postseason combined, he played in 17 games. That's rather healthy. But now, for the second season, unless Nick Perry is taking part in practices that are closed to the public, and I doubt that's the case, but maybe it is. But anyway, so it would appear as if he's missed the entire practice portion of the off-season program. He is in attendance. He did warm up with the team during their stretching routine yesterday, but that was pretty much it. I'm sure he's doing rehab. I'm sure he's doing strength and conditioning. But as far as physical activities go, been rather limited. So this, of course, you know, it's a lightning rod issue here, just simply because Nick Perry is a former first round draft pick of the Packers in 2012. And there's always so high expectations that come with being a first round draft pick. And it, you know, if he did have off-season surgery, I can't blame him for missing time at this time of year. I mean, you know, if I had off-season shoulder surgery, I don't think I'd be able to participate. I doubt there's many people who would. But yes, I do think it is make or break time for Nick Perry this season. I mean, the next contract he signs is going to depend on it. And even if he has a good season, I just don't think there's going to be many teams out there in the NFL, the Packers included, that are going to invest a ton of money into Nick Perry. I mean, unless he absolutely breaks out and has a season where he's got more than a dozen sacks and is just, you know, Pro Bowl caliber. But I mean, what are the odds of that happening? What are the odds Nick Perry has a dozen sacks and is a Pro Bowler this year? I mean, are we putting the odds at 1% of that happening? I think everybody would be absolutely stunned if that were the case. But I just kind of threw the question out on Twitter before the show. I said, I kept it rather vague, but I said, what are your expectations for Nick Perry in 2015? And that was all I asked. And here's some of the responses I got on Twitter from SoCal Packer fan. Says rather tongue in cheek here, expect Nick Perry to get hurt. That's his expectations for Nick Perry, that he'll get hurt. Maybe ones that are maybe not quite so tongue in cheek here from Seattle Poischel. I hope he can play all 16 games. Also, I expect more playing time and at least six sacks. Johnny Maxout on Twitter says, anything less than eight sacks is a disappointment. On the bright side, it'll probably keep his value down in free agency, though. Earthquake 320 on Twitter says, to hold the edge against the run. That's about it. Ross Uglum on Twitter says, has just the right amount of pressure sacks to make them considering his return, something like 25 pressures, 6 hits, 7 sacks. C. Nils White 83 says, realistic, he'll get hurt or underwhelm, but hopefully he'll stay healthy and deliver more than flashes, leaning towards realistic. Steve Simon says that he plays for another team or not at all soon. He's a big disappointment. He and Mike Neal battle for the same spot. So there you go. There's a sampling of what people's expectations are for Nick Perry during the 2015 season. And there's kind of a mix of people, you know, expecting more of the same from Nick Perry. Basically he's been hurt and that's what they anticipate will happen this year. Or, you know, some people kind of went along the realm of, you know, what their expectations from him should be, you know, in terms of him being a first round draft choice and what they would expect him to produce if he were healthy. So kind of a range of, ideas there coming from social media. But continuing our discussion here in the next segment on the show,
Packers news of the day.
One of the other big stories that came out of minicamp on Tuesday was the signing of first round draft choice Demaryius Randall. So just coincidentally, first day of minicamp is the day he signs his rookie contract with the Green Bay Packers. Not only was he the final Packers draft pick to sign a contract, he was one of the final rookies in the entire NFL to do so. I think the amount of rookies that have yet to sign a contract in the NFL can be counted on one hand. Randall just so happened to be one of the last. Not that it was a big deal. You know, the days of rookie holdouts are now over, and that was kind of one of the best things that ever came out of the 2011 collective bargaining agreement between the NFL and the Players Association, kind of the rookie salary slotting system that they instituted. Seems to be very fair and seems to work. It was just a matter of there is a little bit of room for negotiation, and some of it had to do with the fact that Demarius Randall, he had to wait for the draft choices in front of him, I believe, to sign, and they kind of took a while. You kind of base maybe the guaranteed money portion of his contract that he'll get off the guys that, you know, signed the one and two spots ahead of him in the NFL draft. You know, the Packers drafted, what, 30th overall, and so you kind of base it off the 28th, 29th picks, things like that. That's why I think it took so long. Again, not really a big deal. His contract, according that they published basically the rookie salary scale at the website overthecap.com, which I've shared the link at 24/7 Sports. If you just go read our article on Demarius Randall signing his contract, the link is there. But the total value of Randall's contract is worth $7.916 million, and that includes a signing bonus of just over $4.017 million that he got yesterday. Yesterday had to be a very good day for Demarius Randall. Just for putting pen to paper, he earned $4 million, over $4 million. So that's definitely got to be a good feeling when you're a rookie in the NFL. So, becomes $4 million richer in one day, and that's not even including what he'll make the rest of the season. Just if you're curious, Demarius Randall's salary cap figure is about $1.439 million in year one of his contract, and you know it increases a little bit each year throughout the first 4 years of his deal. And then in a few years' time, Demarius Randall will be in the same boat as Nick Perry, who we were just talking about earlier on the show, that the Packers will have the choice whether to exercise the fifth-year contract in his contract or not. They have to make that choice after his between his third and fourth seasons in the NFL, whether you exercise that fifth year, which is kind of based upon the, you know, what is it, an average of the top 20, 25 players at his position in the NFL. So it's a significant pay hike, not necessarily one that's exorbitant by any means. It's not like a franchise tag type of figure. And it only lasts for 1 year, just that fifth year in the NFL. But I mean, we are a long ways away from that. We got to see how Demarius Randall does first. But I'll tell you what. I mean, I was at Green Bay Packers minicamp in person on Tuesday. I went up to Green Bay. I wanted to see these guys in action, and Demarius Randall is impressive. I just, you know, one of my big takeaways, and I published, if you haven't seen it already, published an article at 24/7 Sports, 5 takeaways from day one of Packers minicamp. And one of my takeaways is that Demarius Randall is a closer. He closes on the football while it's in the air better than, you know, most people I've seen out there. It's, you know, whether it was they were doing a jog through portion of practice, or they were doing individual drills, or whether they were doing the team 11-on-11 portion of practice, Demarius Randall was consistently closing on the football. He got his hands on several passes, either broke them up, and he grabbed several interceptions, and that's, you know, it's not like grabbing an interception in a game. Some of these are just little drills, and some of them done at half speed. So, you know, take interceptions with a grain of salt. But, I mean, it was to an extent that was far greater than any other defensive back on the field. The Packers really have something here in Demarius Randall. It might take him a while to learn the nuances of the cornerback position, But I'll also tell you what here. I mean, it is clear that the Packers are making a perimeter corner out of Demaryius Randle here. I did not see him in the slot whatsoever, which is interesting when you just look at him and Quentin Rollins. Quentin Rollins gets a little bit of practice at the outside, a little bit on the inside. In fact, quite a bit at the inside at a slot position. But Demaryius Randle is pretty much almost strictly out on the perimeter as that outside type of cornerback. And I don't know whether that means they don't intend him to play as the slot kind of guy. A little bit interesting because he played the slot in college and played it a lot. So you kind of thought, you know, maybe he might be really good at that. And it could just be a case of the Packers really wanting to, you know, saying, okay, you don't have much experience on the perimeter, so we're really going to focus on that. Maybe that's the case. So, you know, I don't know what the future holds for them, but they are, you know, determined to get him comfortable as a perimeter cornerback right now during the offseason portion of the program. Like I said, I don't know if that'll, you know, carry into training camp on such a strict basis. I think he could be a really good slot guy, too. He seems just how aggressive he is. He seems suited to that. But he is a little bit short. He, you know, he's not really tall. So maybe it is. I mean, maybe he'll make a really good perimeter cornerback. You need those, too. You know, you need those on your team. So, but just interesting to see how the Packers utilized Demaryius Randle yesterday at minicamp. So that was kind of one of the big, you know, takeaways there from practice. You know, and there were several takeaways. The menu that we talked about with Jeff Albrecht earlier in the show, it was Ty Montgomery's first public practice in a public environment. Apparently, he actually took part in practice last Friday, so it wasn't his first overall, but first that, you know, the public got to see him. And he looked really comfortable. I kind of, you know, kept an eye on Ty Montgomery in particular just because I knew this and was watching him during individual drills. And he was right at the end of the line. And I'm sure that was on purpose. I don't know whether he was told to do that by the coaches or he just kind of did it on his own. But during individual drills, they were doing some drill where wide receivers were working on breaking through jams at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, the Packers, it's a big wide receiver group right now. They got 10, 11, 12 of wide receivers in total here while the roster's so big at 90. And, you know, the Packers brought in 6 undrafted rookies, a half dozen undrafted rookies at wide receivers. So there's a big group there. And watch Ty Montgomery's at the end of the line. And I think it's on purpose so he can see, you know, what these guys have been doing, these guys who have been there the entirety of the offseason program. He gets to watch them, you know, sees what they can do first, and then it was his turn at the end. But when it came to 11-on-11, you know, competitive portions of practice, he fit right in. You know, they didn't seem to hold back any. Ty Montgomery was used and utilized during that portion of practice. He caught passes yesterday from both Scott Tolzien and Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know whether there was an intention to get him purposely involved because he missed so much time. But regardless, he certainly didn't look out of place. He looked like he knew what he was doing and looked impressive out there. Looks to be an impressive athletic specimen. Looked fast, hard to tell, you know, when players are not totally in pads out there, but he looked good. So, those are just some of my few impressions from minicamp practice on Tuesday in Green Bay. But as far as the next segment on the show,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Wednesday, it is the second day of minicamp. And as we talked about earlier, it's the annual team building exercise. Mike McCarthy has acknowledged that, you know, they won't be practicing on Wednesday. It appears that the team is going to go golfing. Mike McCarthy wouldn't come out and say that, and I think there's several reasons he's intentionally vague. One of them being he wants to keep the event private. He doesn't want fans and media coming out to this, so that's why he doesn't come out and say it specifically. But on top of that, I think he also has to have a plan A and a plan B just in case of inclement weather. You know, when he was asked about it yesterday, you know, who knows, maybe the weather takes a turn for the worse and they can't go golfing or something like that. But anyway, so that's what's in store today. And like I said earlier, I mean, so a minority of people, I think, get annoyed that, oh, you know, stick to football. Why don't you work on getting better instead of, you know, go playing games? You know, some years the Packers have went, you know, clay pigeon shooting. Some years they've gone bowling. They've played dodgeball, various things. Anyway, yesterday or today they go golfing. I don't know whether 9 holes, 18 holes, whatever it is. Mike McCarthy explained, though, you know, they'll be broken up into groups of 4 or 5. And it, you know, he kind of it will be intentionally putting them in kind of groups of that players they don't normally interact with. I imagine, you know, they're going to split up, you know, positions. So they're, you know, wide receivers, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, they're all kind of mixed together because they probably know the guys pretty well that are in their own position groups. But, you know, that's the purpose, is the team building, is getting to know the other guys on the team and interacting with them and things like that. But anyway, that's what's in store on Wednesday. And then Thursday will be the final day of minicamp, and just kind of traditionally, something that Mike McCarthy has done in the past is, after today, he'll actually give some of the veterans the last day off, the last day of minicamp. You know, say, I'm not sure of the exact cutoff, but he'll say, you know, veterans that are 6 years and above, or is it 5 years and above, he gives them the day off. And then the final practice is simply guys who, you know, have, you know, only been in the NFL for 5 seasons or less, the guys who need the most work. So they're getting a little bit of extra attention, a little bit extra coaching on that final day. And I think that's something that's really cool. And again, I think there's a, once again, a small minority of people out there who might criticize, you know, like, oh, well, just have everyone practice, you know, why are you being soft on the veterans? And again, I think the people who are criticizing that probably don't know the larger picture and don't know that minicamp is the culmination of a 9-week off-season program. So basically, the whole team has been at it, has been working in some way, shape, or form for over the past 2 months. And it's just kind of, you know, one small thing that the Packers do. You know, the guys who have actually proven themselves in the NFL, veterans 5, 6 years and above, you know, the guys who need the practice the least, giving them off 1 day of practice. So again, if people out there criticizing that decision, probably don't know the whole story. So, I think that's why, you know, Mike McCarthy's rationale for doing that. And, you know, it comes during mini camp. It's a whole different animal once training camp starts in late July. It, you know, that's why these things aren't done then. Well, actually, he will occasionally during training camp give, you know, veterans a day off. But that's why, you know, for example, the team building activity is not held during training camp, because, you know, that's the time where they get down to business, where jobs are won and lost, where the pads come on at practice and during preseason games, and it's serious business. You're out there, you know, performing and preparing to play in games and things like that. So it's a different type of environment when training camp starts. But yeah, it'll be the conclusion of the off-season program on Thursday, tomorrow. So it's been fun over the course of the last 2 months to talk about, you know, OTAs and mini camp and strength and conditioning and those kind of things. coming to an end. Going to be a little bit of a dead period here once minicamp ends. But we'll wrap it all up on the next episode of Railbird Central on Friday. Kind of be the minicamp, you know, concluding edition, I suppose you could call it. But anyway, thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday morning here, folks. Thanks to Jeff Albrecht of CheeseheadTV.com for being our guest on today's show. We'll be back again on Friday as we have the show airs live every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, and viewable on demand or listen on demand anytime, pretty much anytime the show is over. So we'll see you later, folks. Please, if you haven't already, give us a rating on iTunes. This podcast is, you know, no paywall, no subscription, nothing like that. One small thing we ask, go give us a rating on iTunes. Helps us get the word out about the show. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Psi Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack, go.